My name is Russ Marin. I'm the pastor of Mount Clover Road Baptist Church, and I'm glad you have joined me today. I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. The Apostle Paul writes, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." In 1 Corinthians 10, God gives us a picture of what happened with Israel, how they came out of Egypt, how they were blessed and had many spiritual blessings, and then how they fell spiritually when they entered into the wilderness. And he gives these things to us for examples. So today, I'm going to begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to walk through the first 15 verses in the next couple days. I hope you have a Bible close by. If you do, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and let's go right now to the Mount Clover Road Baptist Church auditorium for today's message. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. What a great privilege we have to live in the United States. We have thousands of churches we can go to. We have hundreds, if not thousands, of Christian bookstores, hundreds of Christian radio stations. If you want to hear the Word of God in America, you can hear it any day that you want to hear it. I remember driving around Tampa, Florida. I had been saved for about 2 years. I was really searching for what to do in my life. It's right before I went to Bible college, and I found that a church that was having a revival, Pentecostal church. Well, I was just saved. I didn't know what a Pentecostal church. I didn't know one from a church from another. So I walked in, and they were preaching that night, and they gave an invitation, and man, they had about 70, 80 people at the altar, and they started laying hands on people, and I was there. You know, when they give that invitation, do you want everything God has for you? You just about have to go forward. So I went forward, and they started speaking in tongues and everything, and all that was taking place, and I just stood there. I guess I was the dummy there that night because they were all getting it, and I was just standing there. But if you want to hear the gospel, you can hear it in America just about any night you want to hear it, on radio, TV, whatever. It's available. What a privilege that is for us. I really believe that makes us extremely accountable. Extremely accountable. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Or go to chapter 9, verse 27, because this follows this verse. The Apostle Paul says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Paul's not talking about losing his salvation, but he's talking about losing his opportunity to finish the race. You know, in our Christian life, the Bible says we need to be self-disciplined, that we do not fall into sin that can cause us to lose the opportunity to minister and be useful and finish the Christian life. We could go back and we can tell many sad, thousands and thousands, thousands of sad stories that have not ended well. And we could tell many, many, many people who have fought the race and finished the race and done well. But the Bible says, be self-disciplined, that you do not lose your opportunity to hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And then it comes to verse 1 of chapter 10. "Moreover, brethren," thinking of that, remembering this opportunity, "moreover, brethren," he's writing to believers, writing to the church at Corinth, "I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were passed under the cloud and all passed through the sea." Under the cloud is the idea that when the Jews came out of Egypt, all right, Jews came out of Egypt, that they had divine guidance. God had a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, that they had divine guidance and they had protection. It says that all of our fathers were under the cloud, and then it says, and all passed through the sea. You know the story of the Red Sea. They walked up to the Red Sea.
God opened it up. They walked across on dry ground. What a blessing. They had divine guidance. They had divine deliverance. When the chariots from Egypt followed them into the Red Sea came in and covered the Egyptian soldiers, and they were drowned, all of them. And then verse 2, and were all baptized with Moses, or baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. The idea there, some people disagree on this, but they had divine leadership. God had chosen Moses to lead them out of Egypt, and he was God's appointed man. And they were, in a sense, they're not talking about water baptism here. He's saying you were immersed in the leadership of Moses. You were under the law that he was giving. And then verse 3, and it says, and you all did eat of the same spiritual meat. They had divine provision. God was providing manna. This is one of the great miracles of the Bible. Every morning they'd wake up, the manna was on the ground. Miracle. Every day, God was providing absolutely perfect food. It's amazing. During that 40 years in the wilderness, their clothes didn't grow old. Their feet weren't ruined by the walking in the wilderness that God provided. And every day they had this spiritual food or physical food for their bodies. And then he says in verse 4, and all did drink of the same spiritual drink. When they needed water, God had a rock, and they'd strike the rock, and the water would come out. God provided it for them. And that was, I have written down here, divine intervention. So what a privilege. What a privilege these Hebrews had to come out of Egypt, God leading them, God opening up the Red Sea, God protecting them, God providing food for them, providing water to drink, God meeting every need. They had a divine leader in Moses. What a privilege. And he's saying now to the people at Corinth, you have a privilege also. You have a privilege. Do not ruin this opportunity you have to live for Christ. As Israel was leaving Egypt, there was absolutely no way, it was impossible to tell who was genuine. Who was genuine? Which ones are genuinely saved or not? Can't tell by looking at them. You can't tell by looking at them who is going to grow in Christ and who is going to rebel. You can't tell. You can't tell. Who's genuine? Which ones are genuine? Who's really saved? Who's going to grow in Christ? Who is going to rebel? And in the case of Israel, who is God going to have to destroy? I think it's a pretty solemn question. Who is God going to have to destroy because of sin? Impossible to tell, right? You can't tell. For every person standing on this platform, it's going to be important. That every one of our kids up here someday is going to stand before a living God, and they're going to give an account. Boy, if we want anything in the world for them spiritually, we want them to be genuine, real. They've all been born with a sin nature. They all are sinners. But they have in their heart the capacity to decide to live for God or to rebel. And by looking at them, we can't tell. Because of sin and unbelief, who will be destroyed? It's one thing to profess Jesus Christ. I suppose that if we would take this whole crowd here tonight and say, how many of you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Most people in here would say, I profess to know Christ as my Savior. But in reality, biblically, it would be a higher number. Actually saved would probably be lower than those that profess. Because we know in any large group of people, there are people that profess to know Christ and really don't know him. So that such was the case with Israel. In Revelation 3:1, the church at Sardis, it says, God says, you have a name that says you are alive, but you are dead. The church at Sardis, you have a name that says you're alive, but you're dead. Many people say that they are alive in Christ, but really, in reality, they are spiritually dead. These people in Israel, there were two types of people coming out of Israel. There were those that were true to the faith, they really believed, and there were those that just had an outward appearance. They were with the crowd. They looked like everybody else. They were dressed like everyone else. They had the same talk, the same language, but they were not true to the faith. And they were going to be overthrown in sin in the wilderness. Now, let's watch. Verse 5 says, "But with many of them, God was not well pleased." Many of the people that came into the wilderness, God was not pleased with them. It says, "For they were overthrown in the wilderness." Now, these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things. Now, God here gave five blessings, divine leadership, divine guidance, divine deliverance, divine provision, divine intervention. Now he's going to give five steps downward towards backsliding or falling into sin. The first one is, he said that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. We shouldn't lust. They weren't satisfied with the manna. They weren't satisfied with the absolutely perfect food God was giving them every day. Instead, they wanted to go back to Egypt, go back to the flesh pots, go back to the melons and the cucumbers and the garlic and the meat. They wanted to go back. Now, you know, sometimes when we get saved, if you're not careful, you'll start longing for the world and you'll want to go back into sin. And that you'll not be satisfied with what God has given us or given you, and you'll start lusting for what you used to have. It's sin, it's wrong, and it's very dangerous, because in Numbers 11, they said that these people lusted and lusted and said, "We want meat. We are tired of eating this manna, which was like a coriander seed. We're tired of that. We want meat. We want the things that we used to have in Egypt." So God finally said one day, he said, "Okay, you're going to get it." And he flew the quails in by the hundreds of thousands until they fell on the ground and they just laid there on the ground. And he said, "You're going to eat this meat until it's coming out your nostrils. You're going to be sick of it." And the Bible says that God judged them because of their sin.